A reading from Mark, the 11th chapter. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Raise your palm branches up and we'll say a prayer. Merciful God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, entered Jerusalem as Messiah to suffer and to die, let these palms be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our King and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life. In the name of Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Will the children help me lead this parade inside? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Everlasting God, in your endless love for the human race, you sent our Lord Jesus Christ to take on our nature and to suffer death on the cross. In your mercy, enable us to share in his obedience to your will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. At this point, we will hear from our choir. Children will join me up this way for the children's message. Bring your palms if you got them. Come on up this way, guys. Have a seat. Okay. This was a little different this morning, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We don't usually do it this way. We stood outside and we came in kind of like a parade, right? And we were waving these things. What do you think these things are about? What do you think, Mason? They're palms? Why do you think we wave these?
Because we need God.
but it has something to do with Jesus and Jesus dying, and has something to do with God. That's all sort of right. And what was happening was Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. Jerusalem was like the place where everything happened. But really, the reason these palms were waving them is these palms were sort of like, back in the day, they were sort of like something else that we have now, and I'm going to show you. Okay, these palms were basically the old school version of this. Have you guys ever seen one of these? What do you do with these? Cheer. You cheer, right? And you go, yeah, we're number one, right? Yeah. All right, so do your palms with me. Let's go. Yeah! Yeah, that's basically what it was, is the people were so excited to see Jesus, they wanted a way to cheer for him, and so they didn't have foam fingers then. So they used these palm branches, and they waved them, and they shouted, Hosanna. Say that. Hosanna, which means save us, because they thought Jesus is the one who's going to come save us. And they were right, but they didn't quite understand. So this week in the church is called Holy Week. This is the week that we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus, okay? So Jesus goes to Jerusalem and people are really excited, but they don't stay excited. It turns out that they get confused and they get angry, and that eventually Jesus ends up being killed on the cross because people turn against him, okay? So that's what we sort of start today, and we tell that story this week on Thursday and Friday, and then on Sunday we gather for Easter because Jesus is raised, okay? He's back and better than ever. That's the story we tell this week, and it starts with Hosanna. So wave those branches one more time. Hosanna! Hosanna. Perfect. Okay, will you guys pray with me? Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, save us. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. Okay, so that was short, short and sweet. Sometimes that's all we need, right? At this time, you guys, if you're going to Children's Church, we can head to Children's Church. If you'll line up at that door and wait for Miss Latifah, please. You're also welcome to stay with us if you want to.
First reading today is from the book of Isaiah in the 50th chapter. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear, to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today is from the 31st Psalm. 9 through 16 will be read responsibly by whole verse. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me.
I am cast out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel.
For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life.
But
My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors.
Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love.
The second reading comes from the book of Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
At this point, I'll invite you to be seated. We'll be reading our gospel reading from this narrative today, and you have a part to play. So does anybody need one of these before we get started? If you will read aloud the bold, the congregation parts, and hopefully we've got all the parts covered. We'll see as we go, right? This is the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him, for they said,
"Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people."
While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger,
"Why
was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said,
"Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand and for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her."
Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them,
"Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there."
So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said,
"Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me."
They began to be distressed and to say to him and one another, "Surely not I." He said to them,
"It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me, for the Son of Man goes as it is written with him, but woe to the one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born."
While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said,
"Take, this is my body."
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them,
"This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them,
"You will all become deserters, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him,
"Even though all become deserters, I will not."
Jesus said to him,
"Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times."
But he said vehemently,
"Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you."
And all of them said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
He took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be distressed and agitated, and said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake."
And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said,
"Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want."
He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter,
"Simon, you are asleep. Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying,
"The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard."
So when he came, he went up to him at once and said,
"Rabbi,"
and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them,
"Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled."
All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priest and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying, "We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands. But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, but he was silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest asked him. Jesus said,
I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven.
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, all of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying to him, prophesy. The guards also took him over and beat him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said, but he denied it, saying,
I do not know or understand what you are talking about.
And he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed. And the servant girl, on seeing him, began again to say to the bystanders,
this man is one of them.
But again he denied it. Then, after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. But he began to curse, and he swore an oath,
I do not know this man you are talking about.
At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him,
before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times.
And he broke down and wept. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him,
are you the king of the Jews?
He answered him,
you say so.
Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, but Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now, at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now, a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, for he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again,
and what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?
They shouted back, crucify him. Pilate asked them,
why? What evil has he done?
But they shouted all the more, crucify him. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him, and they began saluting him. They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified 2 bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying,
"He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe."
Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,"
which means,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion, who stood facing him, saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. They used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee, and there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph brought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We remain standing for our hymn.
Through the sun, no sin to hide.
Let us say what we believe by use of the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 or on the screen in front of you. I believe in God, the Father Almighty.
Renewed in the promises of baptism, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Gracious Lord, we pray for your church in all the world. Bless all who call upon your name. Unite us in bearing witness to the gospel. Pour your love into our hearts and inspire us to pour out our lives in service to your world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for the world that you made, for trees with leafy branches, for olive groves and gardens, for mountains and hillsides, valleys and canyons, for places affected by rising sea levels or depleted water sources. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for the nations, for peace among all people, especially for peace in Jerusalem among all parties who honored Jerusalem as holy ground. We pray for all who hold positions of authority and power, for all who suffer oppression, for all who served in the armed forces. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for those in need, for those who have suffered betrayal, for those who live in poverty, for those who have no voice or power, for the forsaken and forgotten, for those who are in crisis, and for those who are ill, especially Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Jana, Barbara, Bill and Betty, Harold, the family of Steve, Hunter, the family of Tootie, Herbert, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for this assembly, for those here and everywhere preparing for baptism or confirmation, for musicians, altar guilds, ushers, and all who lead us in worship, for those who serve our community, through food pantries, shelters, and clothing banks. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Trusting in your covenant of mercy, O God, we lift our prayers to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace. Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, whose suffering and death gave salvation to all. You gather your people around the tree of the cross, transforming death into life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
This is the feast of all the baptized. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Thank you.
We stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift of faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Say together our mission statement, which is on page 5 of your bulletin. As united people of God,
under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
If you would be seated. We have to sneak in our announcements somewhere, right? And it doesn't really work with a palm procession to do the announcements then. So I know a couple of announcements off the top of my head. If you will, the sheet with the narrative gospel that we read today, if you will stack those up in the back, or we can start a stack up here in the front too, we'll hold on to those so we can use those another year. This is a huge week in the life of the church. This is sort of what it's all about. If Jesus is not crucified and raised, we're not sitting here. There's no news, right? So we celebrate that this week and we tell the story. We'll be here not on Wednesday. We've had Wednesday services for the last 5 weeks. Don't show up on Wednesday unless you want to join us in the choir, which you are most welcome to do that at 7 o'clock. But we will have a Maundy Thursday service on Thursday at 7 o'clock. That will be a brief service because we realize that people have work and school the next day, probably about a half an hour for that service. We'll have communion and the stripping of the altar. And then on Friday, Good Friday service, we tell the story of Jesus' crucifixion in an extended way, and we sing a lot of hymns. I think it's the most dramatic service of the year. As we go, we turn off lights as we go so that by the time we get to the end, it's as dark as the windows will allow, at least depending on the sun and how it cooperates. So hope you can join us. That Good Friday service is at 7 o'clock. And then on Sunday, a lot going on. Starting with the sunrise service at 7 o'clock, unless I'm mistaken. Nobody's looking at me like I'm crazy. Okay, good. I always have a hard time remembering when the sunrise service is, but I have not missed it yet. So I'll be there at 7 and I'll see you. And then shortly after the sunrise service, about somewhere in the neighborhood of 7:30, 7:15, 7:30, we'll have breakfast. So hope you can join us for that. And then at 9:45, we're going to have an Easter egg hunt, and if the weather's good, it'll probably be across the way behind the office complex, between the office complex and the ball field. And then at 10:30, our Easter worship. So big week. Hope you can be there for much of that. I know that on Saturday, the Silly Crew is also going to an egg hunt event, Lazy Five Ranch, the egg drop, which has become a favorite. What other announcements should we be aware of today? Middle and high school youth, you can meet me right after, as right after as I can get there, in here in the fellowship hall is where we'll be today. We passed around a prayer shawl earlier for Taylor, who's going to have her tonsils out on Wednesday. So you were praying for her, you just didn't know why yet, and now you know. Are there other announcements we should note for the good of the community today? Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yeah, we prayed for Herbert today. Herbert just was real sick with a stomach bug and wound up in the hospital yesterday because his stomach bug was so bad that it wreaked havoc on his insulin. And I think he's doing some better. I haven't spoken with them. I heard that this morning. But Debbie was hoping that if everything leveled out, they might get out of there today. But keep Herbert in your prayers. If there are no other announcements, we'll stand, and our closing hymn is number 347. Come with me. Go to dark Gethsemane, all who fear the tempter's power. In one bitter hour, turn not from his griefs away, learn from Jesus Christ to pray. Follow to the judgment hall, view the Lord of life arraign. O the wormwood and the gall, O the pangs his soul sustain.
Go in peace, serve the Lord until your heart looks like God's heart.
Thank you.